Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Well, well, well. It's WTIC. Thank you for being here. It's the time of the day when we get the rants going. And then at 5:40, and we take phone calls, of course, during rants. The rant line number itself, 860-751-4698. You can drop your little bits of wisdom, your thoughts on anything, really. Don't let the name spook you. There's nothing about calling it the rant line that requires that you adopt any particular affect or tone. You just use the gift of voicemail to lay down your own little track whenever you feel like it. We play it at 5:40 most days. And Fridays earlier. And so that's what we're going to do. And we mix phone calls in too. 860-751-4698 for rants. 860-522-9842 for the regular old thing. And we're going to get you a traffic update. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, checking in with Mr. Mark Christopher Marcus. Go ahead.
It's Todd Feinberg, Monday through Friday, 3 till 6, on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Okay, it's WTIC. Phone lines are open. You can call 860-522-9842. And we play rants during this period of time. Don't forget, Tom Scott will be here at 5:40. Tuesday afternoon, that's when we rock some good political talk, good hard-hitting local angles usually from Tom. And it's just fun to get somebody who's spent his whole life and career, not always working in politics, but always thinking about it, always talking to candidates and always helping candidates. So that's what we do at 5:40 today. Tom Scott will be here. 860-522-9842. I want to get your reaction to Juan Pablo Villamil's column in The Hill. Biden will either toughen up on the border or lose re-election. He is bizarrely placid. He is calm and frozen, maybe. Maybe it's not calm at all. Maybe it's freak out, quiet freak out that causes him not to move. But the repercussions for him, I just think, are monumental for sitting around not doing anything. That's how it looks to me. You? Don't forget, rant at 751-4698, and let's play one or two of those.
Yeah, I listened to Patrice McCarthy on Brian's show this morning, and after 40 years, I don't think she still has a clue of how to get kids educated. You look at the statistics of amount of kids that graduate from high school, and Harvard is like 30%. Waterbury, I think, was like 32%. It's just incredible the low percentage rate of kids that actually graduate from high school these days. And then, you know, educators and lack of educators. No, I think there's a bunch of educators, and they're paid a lot of money here in Connecticut, and we're not getting any results from what tax dollars we're giving them. And ask for more tax dollars to try and fix the problem isn't going to fix the problem at all, because she hasn't been able to fix it in 40 years.
Well, I don't know. Nobody tries to fix education, because you can't fix education if you maintain the current structure of the way decision-making, policy decisions are made in education, and pay is dispersed. So anybody who says, for example, that they're going to raise taxes or divert money from one account to an education account because they want to put more teachers in the classroom or improve the quality of teachers or whatever, it's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen, because the money problem isn't a lack of resources. The money problem is the priorities of the teachers' unions having to do with job security, paying everybody the same amount based on longevity, not giving great teachers great pay and bad teachers worse pay. Does anybody know a system that operates this way, that's designed in this way? There's no way you can have great education. And America is built around not having great education. And the only part, before I play another end, I just have to say this. There are serious people who spend their lives trying to improve education outcomes in public education, who will say, you can't do that. Don't you believe in collective bargaining? And if you put collective bargaining first, then you can't have great education. So the response is, don't you believe in great education? You can't put collective bargaining in front of kids, but that's what they do. The whole education system is built around a bunch of lies that are designed to protect the permanent policy of putting kids last, putting families last, putting taxpayers last. That's our system of government. That's our system of education. 860-522-9842.
This is Diane Nelson calling from Diversified Adjustment Service. Please call me at 844-349-2203.
I love that woman. She just keeps calling. Isn't she something?
Hey, Todd, this is Wayne from Meriden. Just some observations. First of all these college students that are protesting against Israel in colleges. Now, a lot of these college professors were protesters back during the Vietnam War.
That's right.
And now they've got a new audience they can cater to now, college students that they're teaching.
I think that is not a point to be taken lightly that Wayne's making. There is nostalgia that drives a lot of this. When I was a kid, I was protesting. I was out there fighting that Vietnam War thing. You know, that's how they feel. They're proud of that. They want to see it repeated. They want to repeat it themselves. And they want to teach their youngins, even if it's not their personal youngins, but the youngins they teach. I think colleges want to have their radicalism and their radical college life still going on. And that's why they're still there.
They put all these ideas in their heads about how evil Israel is. Well, the Palestinians have always tried to eliminate the Israelites, saying that they shouldn't be there anymore. Well, these Palestinians, these such nice Palestinians, they're the ones that wiped out those athletes at the 1972 Olympics.
Wow. Wow, Wayne's doing some history. Remember the 1972 Olympics? I can't believe how long ago that was. That's when they did the raid, right, and killed the Israeli athletes? 1972 was 52 years ago, I believe, if I'm doing the math right. Yikes.
So everybody wants to see the Israelis eliminated. Second observation is, you know, the Democrats are really trying to do their best to get rid of President Trump. Well, you know what? He isn't going away, and he's going to be president in November of this year, and I'm going to be voting for him, too.
Well, no, that would, if he wins the election in November, that would make him president come, what is it, January 20th or January 21st, something like that. But, you know, that's nitpicking. Rant at 860-751-4698.
Hey, Todd, I'm calling about the out-of-control protests. I know we're in agreement that we should have free speech, even if there's some type of hate speech. But you can't have the violence. And I feel like your right to protest should not impede on another person's daily routine or what they want to do.
Well, that goes with all rights. Your right to do whatever it is you're doing that's your right ends when you're violating somebody else's right, when you're interfering with somebody else's right to do the same thing. You know, it's funny. It just occurred to me saying that. One of the things kids like to do now is obliterate free speech by maybe standing up in a lecture hall in a university when a conservative is speaking and yelling with a bullhorn. That would be an example of your right to free speech being extended so far that it's violating somebody else's right, and then it would cease to exist, right?
Example, you can't block roads, block access to buildings. You got these colleges, they're canceling classes and finals or holding them in a different way. It's very unfair. People who have paid for their education and want to get educated, unlike the other ones, don't seem like they want to really be educated.
Well, let's remember, too, that we're dealing with young people who supposedly were raised. This shows how all this left stuff about anti-bullying and all the training that people go to. And you know how when something happens on a school campus, it's a required part of the story that it says counselors are standing by to advise students and family. Like, they're so into the touchy-feeliness. They're so into the idea that they can't be forced to go to a classroom where there might be a surprise topic that could trigger some sort of memory of theirs having a trauma in their life, and that's the responsibility of the professor. The professor has to announce that part of the day's class will include something that could be problematic. And if somebody wants to leave because we're going to discuss A, B, or C, you go ahead and do that. It's craziness. And do they care about triggering people? Well, no, apparently not, because they have no problem accusing people like going after Jews for being Jewish. What happened to being so sensitive and worried about everybody's feelings? What happened to that? I don't know. Let's talk to Chris in Stafford Springs. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
That was fast, right?
Yes, it was. Way too fast. Hey, I was just calling. You were talking about the teaching with the schools?
Yes.
And I went to Catholic schools all my life.
Oh, how did that work out?
I'm 68 years old. Oh, it worked out okay.
My understanding is those are really good schools.
Yes, but what the one thing I was wanted to mention was I went to high school at St. Bernard's in Montville.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a very good math student. And the teacher was out on disability for like 2 or 3 weeks, and we had a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And the substitute used to teach the higher IQ people. So I learned more in the 2 or 3 weeks than I did the whole year.
Because you're one of the higher IQ people?
No, I wasn't. No,
but was, why did that work for you?
Because the teacher was better. The teachers in the Catholic school I went to, mm-hmm. if you were a higher IQ, you got the better teachers. If you were lower, you got the lower teachers.
Interesting. And is there a lesson in that for us?
No, I'm just saying about the public schools.
Yeah.
That if you're a higher IQ, you'll probably go somewhere else you know, or the teachers will go somewhere else. You know what I mean? I mean, you just can't win, you know?
Yeah. It's an interesting idea. All right. Anything else, Chris?
Yeah. Well, like with the Catholic schools, if you have the money, you can go there, but it doesn't, education wise, it was good, but, they teach you to be good, you know, between good and evil and all that stuff.
Yes. They give you, the whole person kind of training. Thank you, Chris, for the call. Dave in Windsor. Hello, Dave. Yes, Dave. No, Dave. All right, let's try Mike in Plainville. Hi, Mike.
Dave's not here today.
I guess he isn't.
Dave's not here.
We need a substitute.
Picture me as a president of a university.
Okay.
Clear cut lines here, okay? Mm-hmm. You want to go to class? Fine. You don't want to go to class? Okay, that's all right, too. You don't show up for finals, you get an incomplete. You have to take the course over. And if I find out that you are involved in violence on the protest line, you will be expelled from the university. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's it. But that's not going to happen.
Because it's too strict?
Who's strict anymore, Todd?
Nobody.
There's no respect for any type of guideline system anymore. It just, anything goes.
Well, that's true.
They're letting all this stuff, I don't know. I swear to God, there's something in the air. You got these people in Washington and the state of Connecticut. What the hell are these people thinking?
That's a hard one to answer.
I just don't get it.
It's really hard to figure out what's going on with our country.
I have a fear. I have a fear that a year from now, you're going to see some problems popping up worse than what we got now. You're going to see anarchy. They're going to start protesting about everything.
That could be this could be just the beginning, but the beginning that will who would that hurt the most? But Joe Biden. I think sleepy Joe Biden would be going down the tubes, Mike. Thank you for the call, sir. 860-522-9842. Okay, you ready? We're going to get a traffic update for you. We're going to the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center, and Mark Christopher is there because he's always there. He is a...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Distant individual, Mark.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Wait a sec. We're doing rants. We've got Tom Scott in a few minutes, and we're doing rants. That's how we roll. So let's play one right now.
Most, if not all, of the college campus protesters that have been arrested got off with a slap on the wrist. They broke into buildings. They held maintenance workers hostages. They did damage to the buildings that they broke into. But yet they walked away with nothing. No misdemeanor, no nothing, a slap on the hand, and that was it. Isn't this a little different? The double standard showing from January 6th? Those people went to jail, but yet college protesters, campus protesters, get away scot-free. We send money to these colleges, Harvard, Columbia, etc. Remember the words when it says federally funded. Federally funded is you, the taxpayer. So Joe just keeps giving our money away. Federally funded is you.
Yes, and really none of our money should be going to fund higher education. We don't do higher education. Federal government has no role in colleges and universities. The federal government has no role in education in terms of the constitutional assignment of responsibility. So why are those tax dollars going to schools? Why does the federal government have to make a mess of education? Why couldn't that be excellent? We need excellent education. Here I go again. But it is ridiculous. Do you know why college is so expensive? Because of the federal government interfering. They spend $40 billion a year putting money into higher education. Research grants, student loans, all they've done is drive up the cost, make it easier for colleges to make a ton of money. That means they just keep doing the same thing. They don't innovate. They keep college bad, just like public schools keep themselves bad and chasing perverse priorities, because it works for the adults. Come on, man. Can't do it. 860-522-9842. Mark Christopher watching the roads for us. Busy, slow. What do we have going on, Mark? Mark's in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
It's Todd Feinberg. It's Todd Feinberg. Monday through Friday, 3 till 6 on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Which gives us a real treat at 540 because Tom Scott is here every week. Hello there, Tom.
How you doing today, Todd?
Nice to have you here. What's going on?
Well, it's that day of the year, at least during the even-numbered years, when it's an opportunity to praise the Lord for that provision of the Connecticut State Constitution that requires that these part-time legislators go home at the strike of midnight tonight. So watch out for all the last-minute skullduggery in the 100-page bills that nobody read, you know, getting put in the so-called consent calendar, which is a calendar providing for an opportunity to rush bills through without any without a vote. But on the other hand, in the state Senate, we've got heroes like State Senator Rob Sampson, who's keeping an eye on every bill. So are the staff members, and there are a number of people in the House as well. And they'll talk the clock out if necessary to kill some of the really bad stuff. I mean, every year when liberals control the legislature is bad for the state of Connecticut. But this year so far, is certainly not the worst record on the worst session on record. It hasn't been too bad overall. Bad enough, but not too bad.
So there are some bad things they've proposed that it looks like aren't being acted on, but can you trust that, or do you really have to wait until the midnight gong or whenever it is ends this session for this year?
Well, not only do you have to wait until midnight, but years ago, and again, this is before I was in the Connecticut State Senate, when it was crunch time and there were more bills than time before midnight on adjournment night, somebody got up in both chambers and literally turned the clock back. And the people in charge were in on it, and they literally turned the clock back and kept passing legislation.
Really?
I don't think we're going to see that in modern times. There are simply too many witnesses and too many iPhones and too many people recording, you know, the actual events. So that was a one-off. But short of that, I think a lot of bills are going to die on the calendar tonight.
So it looks good for some of the horrible stuff. This always happens, though, where these really bad ones kind of die out. Is that because they're so bad that Democrats really don't want to have that on their record that they supported it, or is there some other dynamic that kills legislation?
Well, that's certainly part of it, but you also have disagreeing actions between the House and the Senate. And because of the nature of the cumbersome nature of the Connecticut General Assembly, it's a very inefficient operation. You know, the New Hampshire legislature does it right. They have what do they have, like 350 members of the House of Representatives, and they only meet a couple of times a year, which means they get very little done and they do very little damage to the state of New Hampshire. But in Connecticut, we have too few people that are around for far too long, and things get very cumbersome. And if the House passes a bill and sends it to the Senate, and the Senate even makes a minor adjustment, it has to go back to the House. And given how inefficient the legislature is, and given how incompetent many of these leaders often are, mm-hmm. They wait till the last minute to get a lot of important legislation done. And that's when the minority, whatever the minority happens to be, has been strengthened procedurally because they can talk bills to death. And some of the bills that we thought early on were in contention this year had to do with banning the sale of gasoline cars by 1934, yes. 35, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That is off the shelf temporarily. That will be back.
You mean next year they'll do it again?
Absolutely. And of course, you still have to watch out today for some skullduggery where somebody slips something into a bill that puts us a little further down the road towards doing that. It yep. certainly wouldn't be the full bill. But even the governor, you know, you're much better at psychoanalyzing this guy than I'll ever be. But the governor put out a statement, I guess it was yesterday, putting the brakes on a bill in the House that would have regulated artificial intelligence. And he said, it's too soon. The bill is too big. No states have done this yet. We need to collaborate with other states. Now, I happen to believe the governor is right. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how he got to this place, Todd. That's why I defer to you on these matters. But he got there, and he actually, this is why he's at 63% in the polls. He actually sounds like the voice of reason on the issue of AI, for example. But another bill, Kevin Rennie, who's a former legislator and a Hartford Current columnist and has his own blog, Daily Ructions, he pointed out something a couple of days ago that is very troubling. It'd be interesting to see if this thing makes it through, where an exception would be carved out to allow lawyer legislators to represent private interests before the Department of Public Utility Control and the Public Siting Council. Right now, they're barred by law. It's such an obvious conflict of interest. And you have to wonder who's behind this. Whose pockets are likely to be lined if this bill passes? What private entities want to hire legislators who happen to be lawyers to influence decisions of these huge bureaucracies, the DPUC and the Siting Council, that have extraordinary authority? Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things, Todd, we've talked about a little bit in the past, and there hasn't been a lot of activity on it this year, is what we're doing to protect Connecticut's grid. It's an old grid. It has not been hardened. If you look closely at your electric bill, there's a small item on there for tree trimming. Some of that goes on. We know what happens when Mother Nature unleashes its wrath on the utility lines in the state of Connecticut. But what about some bad actor, some state actor? The FBI director is constantly screaming from the rooftops that the Chaicoms and the North Koreans and the Iranians and the Russians and other bad actors have all kinds of malware parked in major American infrastructure, including some of the electrical grid systems in this country. And what are we doing to protect the grid? Yet the legislature seems to be more concerned about making sure that some of their pals are able to make money by representing interests before the Public Utility Commission. It's kind of a disgrace. And I'm glad that Kevin Rennie called them on it. Maybe that will kill the bill.
Well, in terms of that kind of disgrace that you're describing, and I think it's a good word, but isn't that usually what gets the priority over urgent policy needs?
Well, this is yes, but again, I can't name names because Kevin didn't name names, so I don't know who he's referring to here. But somebody is behind this bill, and it's one thing to push through an ideological agenda because you know the public doesn't support it, and you're just promoting your ideology on any number of things. I mean, the income tax passed in this state without a public hearing, if mm-hmm. you can believe it. There wasn't a single public hearing. They just rammed it through after, you know, a year of argument, but they rammed it through. In this case, someone stands to profit, and that needs to be exposed. If this bill passes, the public has a right to know who was behind this bill and who stands to profit, because that's sleazy. This is actually a change in the ethics regulations to allow this to happen.
But do you see it being a problem that there's so little media today that is of any use to voters? For example, the front page of the Hartford Courant, I don't know if you would have seen it today, but they have the top story on the page was state has nearly $400 million in unspent funds. These are, you know, federal COVID dollars that they're talking about what they're going to do with. And yeah. They make it seem like the Democrats who are trying to figure out what to do with this money and reach an agreement are doing some gloriously hard work and providing some wonderful benefit to the people instead of talking. How about a story on why there's $400 million of COVID money still being spent when COVID was over a couple of years ago?
How about a story about why they're not giving it back to the taxpayers?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Money. It's found money for these guys, and they'll call it free money. I've actually heard legislators use that term in describing
free money.
Federal grants. They call it free money. You know, it's not free. And you know, it's somebody's going to write a book sometime soon about the scandal of all of this COVID money that went out all over the country. And the number of people that have actually been caught illegally using the money. I mean, West Haven, Connecticut is a perfect example. Mm. I mean, people have actually gone to jail in West Haven for misusing this money. So, yeah, it's quite a story. Hey, we've got $400 million that we don't need and we don't deserve, but let's figure out how to spend it anyway. And the real problem will be how much of that money will be spent on reoccurring expenses, because they'll either create some program, enhance an existing program, they'll create a constituency, and it might just even be a small bureaucratic constituency, but nevertheless, they'll create a constituency, and then next year, when these one-shot revenues are gone, they're going to want to fund whatever they funded this year again, and they'll do it, and they'll raise fees and taxes to do it, but they'll do it because they never cut spending at the state capitol.
Well, yeah, and then just under that story about the $400 million in unspent money that these hardworking people like Matt Ritter, the Speaker of the House, and the governor, and Martin Looney, that they're just so wonderful because they figured out a way to spend $400 million. Just below that is a story about how wonderful state government is, because when the fire happened on I-95 Thursday morning, they actually tore down the bridge that needed to be removed so they could do the work. They did that in only a couple of days. And They make it sound like this was some kind of incredible work of magic on the part of government. And they have a ceremony at the state capitol and they put it in the current like it's news. And like it's like when they've got a quote from the governor, I'll just, and then you can respond. Too often, he says, in government, you have politicians who overpromise and underdeliver. Not the people standing behind me, the governor said. These guys overdelivered. Oh, he's just such a wonderful guy, isn't he?
How about taking the people in the Department of Transportation that made this happen? Because in the context of how state government operates, it was a sight to behold, right? But it should be a daily occurrence,
standard thing. Yeah.
It should be standard. So the people that were in charge of that, they ought to be put in charge of some program in the state of Connecticut where they go around and they teach this skill to other agencies throughout the state of Connecticut, because they got it right. But does it require a ceremony? Nah, probably not. But they got it right. And how often do they not get it right? How often do they drag their feet? You know, the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, used to build Bailey bridges under enemy fire to transport, you know, multiple ton tanks and other men and material across these bridges. And
while being shot at,
Americans,
maybe.
Under enemy fire, and we have these skills, you know, but unfortunately, government, one bill after another at the state level and the federal level, is sapping the energy and the creativity and the ingenuity out of American productivity. I mean, how many Thomas Edisons do we have these days, or Henry Fords in America? How many there are people innovating every day, and there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't even hear about, but government is sucking the energy out of innovation. Meanwhile, in China, you know, we keep going back to that topic, but meanwhile in China, they're beating us on everything, academically, technologically, militarily, and on they go. And one of these days, Todd, we're going to wake up and we're either going to have to surrender our influence in that part of the world, or we're going to have a hot war with these people that we probably can't win.
All right,
and that's how dangerous things are.
One last question. Did the government have a ceremony at the state capitol to congratulate itself for having done a job quickly? Did they do that for the benefit of the workers who did the job or worked with the contractors to do the job? Or did they do it for the politicians who got to have the ceremony and have it put on the front page of the Hartford Courant with a headline from the governor?
Oh, it was absolutely coming out of the governor's office. I mean, where else would it come from? And the governor was probably surprised, because what they did down there was a good job, right? But the governor, who is the chief executive of the state of Connecticut, he was probably surprised at how quickly they got the job done and how well they got the job done.
Well, they had a model to copy from Pennsylvania, which had a serious problem, not a minor one like they had in Connecticut's mishap.
Yeah. Now think about it. If it had gone the other way, if there was some significant delay or if they made or the engineers made some sort of a mistake,
then there would not have been a ceremony to punish, if that's what you mean.
Not only would there not have been a ceremony, the governor would have been in hiding.
He's in hiding. He's looking for the trees. Tom Scott, yes. Thank you, sir. Where are the trees? Do you have them, Tom?
Not me.
No. Okay. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Paul Bunyan, Governor Paul Bunyan.
Oh, man, it's amazing. All right, that's it. Call the rant line tonight, 860-751-4698. Mark Christopher is still there, right there in the BPS Lawyers Traffic Center. Mark, have a great night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball season is heating up.
Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time? Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.